It's really good to be here. And it's a privilege and an honor to participate in this missions conference with you. My wife, I would love for her to be here, but you'll have to put up with me instead. You all are aware that my mother-in-law went into glory this past on the 4th, and we had her funeral the day before I came up on Wednesday. I just want to, on behalf of my family, I just want to say thank you for your love, your prayers, and your words of kindness. They really meant a lot to us. What I want to do tonight is really just share with you some reflection, some personal reflection on things that I've been reading about, thinking about, and this, our theme, A Changeless Message for a Changing World, is so apropos. So what I'm going to share is probably more for me than it is for you. We live in a very high-tech world, and it's probably the most high-tech time in our world's history. I was in Bogota, Colombia, back in May, and one of my favorite things to do is to observe people, and the airport is one of those places. And I was walking around, and I walked by this room, and there must have been 50 to 60 people in there, and they were all on their computers, iPods, their cell phones with their Bluetooth, I think that's what it's called. And I just stood back and realized, you know, this is how people get their information today. And this is where the world is. And I thought, as a mission organization, if we're going to reach this generation, there's some things that do have to change. This last week, on Wednesday, we had the funeral and memorial service for my beloved mother-in-law. But the last several months, I had the privilege of caring for her. And the woman was an incredible woman, serving the Lord for 58 years with Wycliffe Bible Translators. One of the things that she loved to do, and I loved to hear from her, was her stories. And the cool thing about it was the stories were true. And they really happened. This last week, we were with other friends who came and celebrated her life with us. And it was really cool to just listen to their stories of what they called the good old days, the early days of what it was like being a missionary in Peru, South America. In the early days, as a translator, you had this little box called the shoebox. And you had these little cards that you filed all your language data on. And that really was your computer. And these shoeboxes were cherished boxes because they had your brains in it, all your data. And we lived in the Amazon jungle region, and so really humid. And so you kept these in a closet in your house that we called the hot box. It was hot box because you put a light bulb in there, and it kept everything dry. Because if you didn't, then the humidity of the jungle would just eat it alive. Aunt Betty Snell, Gerhard Fast, see those tables were just covered with papers and exegetical helps and different translations and translation notes. And it was just all this stuff you had to carry. And my mother-in-law tells me that she took her wedding dress along with her. That was one of the things that she took to Peru with her. She said, I took it in faith that I would meet my husband. Missionaries took things that you probably wouldn't normally take today because you couldn't get certain items. It took us 4 to 6 hours to get to Peru and Ecuador, the two places that we've served. Back when my mother-in-law and father-in-law and these others went out, they were on a DC airplane, and it took them several more hours to get just to South America. And so that's something that has changed, where it's only 6 hours now to those places. But they had to go on river systems or walking through the Andes Mountains. I remember living in Peru and even in Ecuador, the trails that missionaries had to walk on to get to communities. And just to share with people. And I remember doing that. And now things have changed. There's roads. You can take cars to a lot of places now. Those things have changed. The other thing was in the 60s, 50s and 60s, something that changed that really impacted global missions was aviation. And I praise God for JARS and MAF. And they have done an incredible ministry and how they've impacted and helped global missions. So now instead of driving and hiking along trails and river systems that took several days, several weeks to get to, now the missionaries could get there in 2 to 3 hours. Praise God for our aviators. The other thing that came in the 80s, 70s and 80s, was a computer. What used to be in shoeboxes now was on a computer. Programs like Carla and Kata, what programs helped adaptation from one language to another language. Translator's Workshop, a software that had those programs plus exegetical helps, translation notes. Another program called Paratext, where you can take strange languages that have strange characters, and it helps you understand and adapt it. Now, instead of having a table full of materials, all you had was a computer now. What used to be one translator translating in a particular language group with maybe one or two native speakers or mother tongue translators, now we're doing language families and using adaptation to them, which used to take literally a lifetime, now is 10 to 15 years. So things have changed. One of the exciting things that's happening also, we live in a time, the most recent statistics that I could come up with, and this is approximately 6,000 to 7,000 languages spoken in the world today. There's one of the praises is that about 1,200 of those languages have a portion, they maybe have the New Testament, and some have the entire Bible. On a Wednesday night at my mother-in-law's memorial service, we live at the Wycliffe JARS Center in Waxhaw, and they were celebrating the end of the year, and they had a display similar to this one. And on the display, they had the 36 New Testaments that had been translated this past year. This is one of them. This is the Quechua, the Cajon de Huayles in the Andes Mountains of Peru. This is the New Testament that my wife and I had the privilege of being part of the team. They titled their New Testament, Tete Diospa Mushuk Testamentu, and it's Father God's New Testament. That doesn't change. Do you believe that the Bible is Father God's New Testament to us? To keep up with all this, let me back up a little bit. I'm sorry. There's still about 2,000 to 3,000 languages still left with no God's Word. That represents about 350 to 400 million people that still don't have God's Word. For me, it impacts me because I can go to a garage sale and buy a Bible for 50 cents. We have translations for grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, little boy, little girl, you name it, we have it. We have all kinds of Bibles. We have all kinds of translations. And we're inundated with the Bible. You can hear it on the radio. You can go on the website. But there's still people that don't have God's Word. What are we doing? What is the church doing to reach those people? What are we going to do to reach them? Do we stay with the same tactics and methods that we have? No, we can't do that. Wycliffe is moving towards being more of a global organization. And one of the things that they've done, my wife and I are part of Wycliffe International, America's area. Our office is in San Jose, Costa Rica. We're a very unique team. We're very multicultural. My director is a Guatemalan. We have representatives from Puerto Rico, Bolivia, Argentina, the United States, and also South Korea. The other uniqueness of our group is we don't all live in San Jose, Costa Rica. Barb and I right now are residing in Waxhaw, North Carolina, just south of Charlotte. We have some others who are in Texas and Puerto Rico and Mexico. One of our main focuses is to educate, to recruit, to equip, and engage the Latin American church in missions. Could you back up one slide, please? This is representative of several different national translation organizations in Latin America who are working in Bible translation, meaning that they're training and they're sending out missionaries. And then the next two slides I wanted to show you some of those people that are being sent out. These are all Latin Americans, and they're all over the world working either as a Bible translator or supporting Bible translation. And how does that impact me? It's real easy for us to think of the church. The church should be doing this, or Wycliffe should be doing this, or HCJB should be doing this. It's easy for us. But what about me? What is Bob Seavey doing about getting involved about those 350 to 400 million people still left to reach? What am I doing? What am I going to do? What's my response to all this? Can you go to the next slide, please? Let me bring it home, a little closer to home to us, okay? Here's some things that haven't changed, folks. Jan Townsend and Juan Carlos. These people had passion. I don't know the specifics of their life. I don't know when it was that they got hold of that passion to glorify God, to a passion for people, to be a blessing, as Jim Allen so beautifully said last night, to be a blessing. But they did. My mother-in-law had the privilege of serving the Lord for 58 years. Juan Carlos, August 24th, 2007. His church was giving him a commissioning service. The last thing he really wanted to do was to play soccer with his friends. And being a good Latin, that's the big thing to do. In the middle of that game, he suffered a massive heart attack and went to be with the Lord. He was ready. He was going to be leaving on the 31st of August to go be a Bible translator in Malaysia. He didn't know. But what he did know, he had a passion He had a passion to glorify God, and he had a passion to be a blessing to others. Do we have a passion? Do we have a passion for God's glory? Do you have a passion to be a blessing to others? Next slide, please. And this is what I want to close with, folks. It's easy for me. I can say, you know, that's good, and you know, other people will do it, and I'll support them, and I'll pray for them. But God wants us to be participants too. It's not just for them. I don't want us to ever get to the point, as Ravi Zacharias said recently in one of his messages that I heard. Are we so busy wanting and getting busy to reach the lost that we left our own soul lagging behind? You see, folks, if we translate God's word, that's great. If we put radio stations out, that's great. If we have children's ministries, that's great. But if your soul is not being impacted by this word, then what good is the Bible translation? What good is the radio station? What good is the children's ministry? You know, I need to be impacted by this word daily, because then my message will be heard and people will listen to it. Because if it's not, then they won't listen. Because we have a lot of competition. And I saw it in the Bogota airport. So, my challenge to us all is, will we take the torch or the baton and run and let it shine, that others will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven? Will we stand in the gap and do whatever it takes so that some might be won? That's the challenge for each one of us. And that's my prayer for us as you, the rest of this weekend, is that God would renew our passion for his glory, our passion to be a participant in what he's doing, and do whatever it takes that we can reach some. Thank you very much.